Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Experience Kills. I am your host Ben, and with me today to delve deep into this new open world RPG is Richard.
Getting deep, getting right into it.
I've been really looking forward to playing this game, Rich. It kind of came onto my radar, it must have been about a year ago, when I saw like a kind of really interesting, weird little teaser for it, maybe around an E3 or something. I can't remember exactly when. But there was something about the visual presentation, something about the style of the costumes that intimated a different era, gave me an idea of sort of a slightly different take on a fantasy RPG. And so far, Greedfall has not disappointed. It's brought to us by Focus Home Interactive and also Spiders. Now, if you're like Richard, when I said the word Spiders, you kind of went, who? Technomancer. Which was sort of a love letter when I played it to sort of the older era of BioWare games, kind of reminiscent of KOTOR with a little bit of like Mass Effect 1 in there. And in a similar vein, Greedfall is kind of moving along the BioWare timeline, and we're now sort of into Mass Effect 3 and Dragon Age Inquisition now when it comes to the sort of the scope of the game, the in-depth nature of the character interactions, the party members, the dialogue options, and the kind of heavy levels of customization for your character, your weapons, your loadout, the crafting. Oh, I could just go on and on and on. But I'll literally, first of all, I'll give you a quick overview of what Greedfall is.
Please do.
Basically, in Greedfall, you play as either a man or a woman, which is cool. You've got like gender choice. You've got some customization there and the visual appearance of your character. They're not maybe to the crazy levels of some, because let's be honest, Spiders are not a big studio. So one of the things I was very happy to see is where they've been actually allocating their resources into making predominantly a really well-written and interesting universe, because Greedfall gives us this kind of Renaissance sort of France era vibe, though it isn't that. So we've got a very strong European feel in the costuming, and basically your character plays this sort of relative to the ruling family of this nation, and you have become sort of a mixture of an ambassador, a diplomat, and sort of a troubleshooter attached to the ruling family's sort of son, who has been sent off to this new island that has been colonized to be the governor there. And you're going to kind of be, yeah, his Mr. Fix-It or Mrs. Fix-It. You're the person that goes out there and deals with the tensions between the native populace and the various ruling houses and sort of nations that are trying to lay claim to this territory. And the reason that they're laying claim to the territory is that the main continent in Greedfall, where you're coming from, has been beset by an awful plague that, as you leave, your mother is basically dead from. So you have a personal investment of trying to find this cure, which we think can be found on this particular island. You'll note that I'm not using any of the names of the places or the characters, because they're all really sort of weirdly European in their vibe, and I couldn't pronounce any of them even if I tried.
You uncultured beast.
It all sounds great when it's spoken in the game, but yeah. I would just butcher it. So this is it would be terrible. So that's the basic setup of Greedfall. You spend the opening couple of hours on your kind of home continent, which is a tutorialized area in this city, doing a few quests, getting used to the combat, getting used to the sort of dialogue systems, because there's a lot going on here. This is one of those games. If you've played Dragon Age Inquisition, which I think is the kind of the game that's most reminiscent of this, you've, you know, got an idea for the levels of dialogue interactions and of combat and stuff like that. The combat's kind of straddling the line between what I found was Dragon Age is a bit easy, kind of push and hold a button, and then The Witcher's slightly more strategic and thoughtful systems. So you can do things like buff your weapons with various potions. You can use magic effects to help you. There's range combat in this as well with guns, so you can spec down that line. There are three separate skill trees, skills, abilities, and talents, I want to say, all of which mean you can completely customize and create the build of character you want and experiment as you go. You can respec as well for, I wouldn't say a minimal cost, there's a respec crystal, which you can find. It's a resource in the world which you can buy or get sometimes from quests, and you can use that to just completely rebuild your character if you so wish. I've gone down personally a kind of dueling, charismatic thief kind of role, where I have good one-handed skills with blades, a strong focus on range weaponry, but I'm also a bit of a a bit of a charming young lady, I have to say, going around charming the pants off of everybody while I'm then picking the locks and stealing all their shit out of their chests.
Oh, saucy minx.
I am indeed a saucy minx, and it's fantastic. So what I find really, what I've really enjoyed about this game so far is the quality of the writing, and most surprisingly, the quality of the voice acting, which can sometimes be really difficult, especially for a European-based smaller studio. It can be really hard. You know, you can sometimes see them trying so hard in these games, and I know I've spoken about it in the past with games of this nature, where the ambition is so high, and you can see the love and the passion that's being poured in there, but sometimes the execution is just a little lacking, and it comes across as corny, or poorly recorded, or poorly acted. For the most part, the vast majority of the performances in this are fantastic. I have already fallen in love with party members. I absolutely adore certain characters. I really like Kurt, who's the kind of the first party member you get in this game. He's kind of like the house guard, the sellsword attached to your house, who has been with you since you were a kid. And he's gruff and he's a bit of an arsehole, but he's also got a heart of gold. And you really understand that he cares about his men, he cares about his charges. He's honorable and yet, you know, willing to do what it takes sometimes. And so building this relationship, kind of like loyalty missions in Mass Effect, that there is an element of that in this game. So you have missions specific to your supporting characters. And then you need to sort of like make sure you if you want to keep people around, you know, they have distinct personalities. So if you do stuff that these supporting cast members don't like, they will piss off. They will turn against you. And you might even have to kill them in combat or something. You know, it can get that severe.
I was going to say that sounds like Animal Crossing until you mentioned the combat. So, yeah.
Okay, Animal Crossing. Okay, that's an interesting parallel to draw here. So, Richard, I'm going to throw this over to you now. I've just said a lot of stuff. I've thrown a lot out there. I've kind of given an overview. Is there any questions, anything you'd like to ask me about Greedfall from Spiders? I'd be willing to field anything.
As a way in, I think Technomancer is on Game Pass on Xbox at the moment. So how similar is it? Does that give people a way in to try that out first? Because this looks to me like one of those games where people will not be quite sure and maybe will sidestep it. So is that an easy route in for people to try it out?
It doesn't play really anything like Technomancer. I mean, it's so much bigger and it's so much more accomplished than Technomancer. Mm. I think Technomancer, I really like the setting, I really like the sci-fi setting and the concept, but it's a very sterile world. It's a very, the combat in it's quite austere and sort of basic in a way, and it's got a very sort of miserable tone to it. Greedfall is a far richer environment with far more variation in characters. There's a whole interesting dynamic on this island because it's all about this sort of colonial fantasy in a way, where you are kind of trying to be the peacemaker. At least you can play it like that, and predominantly the missions try and position you in that, into that place where on this island there are natives and they are coming into conflict with the colonial powers that have set up shop there. And if you want, you could absolutely go around and try and find a way of making sure these natives are respected and get a fair deal out of these, you know, people that have shown up and want to basically pillage the place for its natural resources in certain cases. And, you know, that when you first get there is actually already a conflict happening between one of these factions and the natives, and you can broker a peace treaty. That is something, that is a mission that you can try and do, because in your role, you're kind of separated from these powers. You belong to a faction that has so far avoided conflict with any of the other factions in the world. You're all about being a trader, about being a merchant, a facilitator. You're not so much about looking out for your own interests, but it's within your own interests to try and bring peace, to try and bring an amicable sort of solution to this territory so that everybody benefits. And I think there's a real positive message to that, a really kind of forward-thinking European Union inspired perhaps kind of way of trying to bring together people rather than fight them. So there is a deep reputation system in this game as well, so between all the factions as well as between all your companions and yourself. So there are systems at play that do monitor your choices and monitor your actions, and they do really have an effect on what happens in your playthrough.
That's all you had to say, mate. It's a bit like being the European Union. I'll play that. That sounds good.
I mean, talking about, you know, maybe being sold the idea on this game, it is at a budget price point. I believe it's £35 rather than, you know, £45 or £50.
Oh wow, it doesn't look it. It looks big budget. It looks decent.
Let's talk about that. There are frayings around the edges. It does look decent. It doesn't look great. I don't think, for example, it's up to the quality of, say, The Witcher 3, which is now getting old. You know, that game has been around a while, but character models, texture work, environmental detail, sometimes it does look stunning, but for the most part, it falls a little short to what we are now expecting in this generation of hardware and on PC.
But I was thinking what we expect of this level of release. It's similar to Innocence, A Plague Tale, right? In that it's a reasonably low budget release that punches above its weight. But what you were saying about The Witcher being old, I was going to ask you about that because a lot of the games you've compared it to are old. So Witcher, Dragon Age, Mass Effect, they're all probably still stand up by today's standards, some of them, but they have been around a while. So is there anything contemporary that this competes against, or is it sort of standing on its own?
That's really interesting, actually, Richard. I think there is a massive lack of games of this nature at the moment. Nobody's making them. I suppose the last big attempt would have been something like Mass Effect Andromeda, because nobody's trying to make these large open world narrative focused games, possibly because they're very difficult to monetize. That, you know, from an ongoing standpoint, if they don't do well out of the door, they fall on their face basically when it comes to sales. So yeah, nobody's really making them. They're making Anthems, they're making Assassin's Creed Odysseys, they're making, you know, games with story and quests and characters, but not in this sort of, I'm reluctant to say classical, because it kind of became the thing of the last generation of consoles, didn't it? That was the kind of game that typified that generation, where these large scope narrative character based RPGs, and they're not being made. So yeah, I mean, Greedfall doesn't have a contemporary touchstone. So therefore, the comparisons to those older games like Dragon Age Inquisition, which is about 4 or 5 years old now, are the only ones that are available. I think for example, Dragon Age Inquisition, really, I've actually playing it recently, it really suffers from the engine it's made on. I don't think that game looks great. It's got a lot of very strange character models, and everything is very hampered and looks like a layer of sort of generic kind of Vaseline is smeared over everything. Yeah. And it just doesn't feel gritty or grimy or interesting or real. It feels very, very safe and very, very kid friendly. Whereas Greedfall feels like it lives in the greys, kind of like The Witcher 3 did. It's got many more kind of interesting characters where motivations and stuff are all interacting. There's not necessarily a lot of great, really positive people in there, like obvious good guys. Everybody's got very realistic reasons for wanting what they want. But the best thing is, your character can go in there and can sway minds and convince people and find ways around solutions that aren't always combat focused, which I really enjoyed. I actually really enjoyed playing the diplomat, the negotiator, using my charisma, sometimes using other means like a little bit of bribery, or maybe a couple of threats, because I'm pretty deadly if I want to be.
Well, showing a bit of the leg.
It's so funny, when my wife looked at the character model, and she loves games like this, she's going to be playing it herself, but she looked up and went, oh, what did she said, wow, your character's got a bit of RBF. And I went, what the hell is RBF? She went, resting bitch face. And I went, yes, I suppose. She's seen some shit, and she's gonna get things done. That's my lady. Like, she is not messing around. And it's very true. You have a very important job to do in this game, and it is very serious why you're on this island and what you need to do. You know, you need to get this cure. At the end of the day, your nation is in desperate need of this cure for this plague. So, you know, you've got to make that happen. But it's how you're going to make that happen is really what's at the core of the experience. And I'm loving all that nuance and all the interaction. That, if you're interested, there's crap tons of loot. There's loads of crafting mechanics. There's all kinds of alchemy involved. You can spec down science. You can blow holes in walls or pick open locks in doors. I mean, there's so many ways of tackling challenges. There's a stealth system in this game where you can crouch with, you know, icons above enemies' heads and stuff to see if they detect you. So there's a lot going on. I mean, there's a lot going on in this game. Loads of systems. And usually when you play a game like that, when it's made by a smaller studio, things fall apart. And there have been a couple of technical problems. I have had it lock up on me on a couple of occasions where I've had to do a full restart of the console, hoping patches are going to come and sort some stability issues out in that area. But you know, AAA massive budget games of the last few weeks haven't been immune to such issues like that either. So that's just the nature of development today, I suppose. So I'll forgive them that. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Anything else you want to know, Rich?
No, it sounds really interesting and unique amongst its class, at least at the moment, until maybe we get a new Dragon Age. That isn't development, isn't it? Although that sounds to be a troubled development. And then, of course, we've got Cyberpunk coming up, which is, I guess, a similar sort of thing. So, yeah, maybe it's something to tide people over while there's nothing else on the horizon for this particular genre, something that maybe can plug the gap and help this smaller studio out that seems to have done a pretty good job from what you're saying. Interesting.
Yeah, before we wrap up, I just wanted to mention that, you know, if you've got the impression from my discussion that it's mostly human interaction, there's monsters, there's ginormous creature boss fights, which I just did one earlier on, this huge challenging fight. So it's not just necessarily interacting with these factions and stuff like that. That I'm still, after, I think I'm multiple tens of hours in, like 20-25 hours now, but even after that I'm still discovering kind of new little things and ways of doing stuff with different characters and party members and things of that nature, and there's plenty of game here. I would say it's not as big as some of those open world games. I mean, the locations themselves, much like Dragon Age, it isn't one giant contiguous open world, so there are like siloed off large areas that you travel between that you can explore, if you know what I mean. So it's not just one, you know, giant, I don't know, I forgot the world Anthem is on now, but it's not like that. It's not contiguous. And it honestly is like a massive leap for Spiders. I mean, Technomancer is fun and has its charms, but the scale of that game and the sort of look of that game feels very, very old-fashioned, where this feels very, very new and modern. I mean, except for the fact that the actual character model, yeah, sometimes lip-syncing on those NPCs that you talk to, it's not the best. Your party's normally pretty good. The NPCs, one of the weirdest things is when you go up to a shopkeeper for the first time, he often says something like this, and I mean the first time, he goes, "Ah, welcome back!" And you're like, "I've never been to that." Okay, you've only recorded so many lines, I understand. So yeah, I mean, a couple of times I've been called he as well in dialogue when playing as a female character. It's like, oh, you forgot to get the alternative read on that one. All right, fair enough. I'll let you off.
Never mind. But no, it's good to see a smaller developer really, you know, putting the effort in. When you've got studios like BioWare that are, you know, releasing disappointing products in succession, we had Andromeda, then we had Anthem. Big studios like that that are just not delivering what we expect them to. It's good to see smaller studios like this picking up the slack.
I think it's interesting. It's a discussion of expectation, isn't it? To a degree. You'd expect BioWare, with its pedigree, to consistently produce incredible product, right? Incredible games. Whereas Spiders, what have they done? Mars, Warlogs, Technomancer, you know, whatever that is. And then who's played that? And then this comes out and it's a big surprise because nobody really expected it from them. And I think that does give them a little bit of a pass. Like, that does help them for getting the word out. And I'm not the only one giving this a positive review. I've seen lots and lots of them over the last few days. But that doesn't, of course, detract from how good it is and how enjoyable it is and how much it sets an original tone and how it creates this fascinating world with fantastic writing and world building and really cool, interesting characters and party members. Oh, man, I didn't realize how much I missed having party members, you know, in these RPGs. I've not really had that for ages, if you think about the games that we've been having. You know, you're mostly a solo dude doing solo things because everything's connected and needs to be a shared world shooter. It's like, oh, it's just really nice to chat to your party members and get to know them and maybe romance them and have a bit of hanky-panky behind the bike sheds.
Well, Fire Emblem, I guess. You've been playing Fire Emblem recently, haven't you? So that's...
But I have, but it's a very different thing to this.
Yeah.
Like, that's more like a visual novel. There are some choice elements in there, but it's not... It doesn't feel as in-depth, system-based kind of interactions as you get in a game like Greedfall. But yeah, man, this game is worth checking out, especially at like 35 quid. Really, really good. That, you know, we try to avoid value propositions, but considering what's here and that price point, and this is, you know, a bit of an unlikely hit, I mean, that should encourage you to maybe check it out. because the investment is that bit lower. It's you're not going to be disappointed. If you like games like this, if you remember those BioWare games of old fondly, you know, back from their heyday, as it were, then this will not disappoint you at all. Now, I've really enjoyed Greedfall. Fingers crossed it does really well for Spiders, and we get either, if not a Greedfall 2, something else, you know, continuing their improvement and their growth as a studio, putting out these amazing games. Yeah, so I'm excited. I'm excited by that stuff like that when the little AA studios do really well. You know, it's cool.
That is cool. Well, thank you for telling me about it, Ben. I enjoyed that chat.
I enjoyed it as well. I love telling people about cool, ambitious things that do well. That has been another episode of Experience Kills. Thank you very much for watching this video or listening to this podcast. It's much appreciated. Why don't you get on Twitter and bug me at DIYE or Richard at
Colonel Red on Twitter.
Or even at Experience Kills and tell us how much you loved or hated this video or podcast. We don't mind. It would just be nice to chat to you guys. So by all means, do that. And while you're online and looking up those Twitter accounts, head over to our YouTube channel, give us a like and subscribe. That is literally all we ask for. There's no Patreon gates or advertising to deal with or anything like that. Just a like and subscribe. That's really it.
That said, if anyone does want to send us money, I'm sure we could find a way. So, you know.
Yeah, if you want my PayPal, I can totally do that. I can give you the email address for that. That's not a problem. Just ask. I'm not above bribery, just FYI. Thank you very much for listening to another episode. We'll be back soon with more games. It's that time of year now. There's stuff coming out pretty much every week, so expect more on the horizon. And hopefully me and Richard will convene a podcast again soon as well. So until then, I say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.